Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. Today, TJ Inman and I are breaking down the IU's 30-20 victory over Ball State on Saturday that pushed the Hoosiers to 2-0. I'm your host, Sammy Jacobs. TJ Inman will be here shortly to go over the game. Some news to get out of the way before we start our show. Marcelino Ball was named Big Ten Freshman of the Week for his performance against Ball State last week. 8 tackles, all solo, and an interception, his first of his career. Also, another announcement, the game on September 24th against Wake Forest has been scheduled for a 3:30 kickoff and will be televised on BTN. So we welcome in TJ Inman. TJ, how are you?
I am doing better than Northwestern or Purdue fans are, so that's a plus. You know, we beat Ball State. The second half, which we'll talk about, left quite a bit to be desired, but, you know, first half was very encouraging, and a win's a lot better than a loss when you're trying to build things up. So, all in all, it's a beautiful day here. I can't complain.
Yeah, it's an absolutely perfect fall day here in Indianapolis. Being better than Purdue and Northwestern fans, you didn't really set the bar that high there,
no.
TJ. But, you know, anything.
We've been there.
Yeah, we've been there. And anything, it's good to hear that you're good, though. Anyway, let's get down to the game. You know, through the first 3.5 quarters almost, it looked like IU was going to pitch a shutout. You know, Ball State got a late field goal in the third quarter. But to me, you know, they were up 30-0. And they moved the ball pretty well. They got some big plays, which they needed to show. You know, the big loss is Simi Cobbs, who's probably done for the year.
Yeah,
Dan Feeney was out after. I didn't. One of our other writers, Alex Compton, who is down by the sideline in the student section with the student athletic board, you know, texted me a picture or told me that Feeney headed off to the locker room. I didn't know what part of the game it was. It was clearly in the first half, but I don't know if it was the first or second quarter. But they played the majority of the game without Feeney. And, you know, all but one offensive play without Simi Cobbs again. I feel bad for Cobbs. You know, hopefully his recovery goes well. He should get a red shirt out of the season, playing only in one game, missing another. But he should get the year back and be back for 2017 and maybe 2018 if he doesn't head to the NFL draft. But, you know, to me, the injuries played a big part of why this offense kind of stalled out in the second half. They couldn't really get a run game going in the second half, but it was great to see Richard Lego go deep to Westbrook on that first touchdown. It was a great catch. It was a nice ball on a windy day. And then to see Westbrook show off his speed on the 79-yard touchdown, it's, you know, they padded a lead and the defense again played very well. I thought that the turning point of the game to me, TJ, was when Ball State had, you know, they had a 72-yard drive going. We're down inside the Indiana 5 and I believe Tigray Scales forced a fumble.
Yeah.
And Jonathan Crawford picked it up. That to me changed the game. It was 10-0 at the time. It could have been 10-7 or 10-3, back to a one-score game. And then from there on, Indiana went to score 20 straight points and effectively put the game out of reach. And you know, I don't know what Ball State fans thought after the game, but, you know, Wilson took a shot at their coach, you know, first time head coach, and kind of the clock management and maybe some of the calls, especially after the block punt touchdown to make it 30-13, or, you know, maybe, you know, you go for two, make it a two score game instead of a three score game. It was just a weird, weirdly coached game for Ball State, but a lot of things to clean up for IU. Punt team, you know, Joseph Gideon was pretty good. You know, a lot of people were complaining about the speed of his punts. I don't think that's why that punt got blocked. The guy came off the left edge unblocked, and, you know, nine times out of 10, if you don't block a guy, he's going to block the punt or get a piece of the punt or something like that. So, you know, they need to clean that up. It's another critical error in on special teams where you thought IU would be, you know, rock solid at. But it's good to see Griffin Oaks get his swag back, hitting three yeah. field goals along a 49 on a – it was a tricky, windy day at IU. The wind was coming out of the northwest a little bit, and it was a pretty stiff breeze. But overall,
no doubt
I thought it was a good game.
Either.
Yeah, there was
no doubt.
Doubt.
They were good.
Yeah, so it's good to see him get back into it. And but, you know, there are some things that are a little concerning we'll get into later. But what were your takeaways from the game, TJ?
Well, I mean, you know, I think that it really was a game of kind of two halves or even two different segments that weren't quite half and half. You know, the first maybe 35 minutes for Indiana, very good. You know, Ball State, yeah, they moved the ball somewhat in the first half, but, I mean, that's going to happen. Indiana's not at a point where they're just going to completely suffocate offenses. You know, kind of a bend not break on one drive, but, yeah, they forced those takeaways, had Jonathan Crawford recover two fumbles. Marcus Oliver, again, forces another one. He's just really good at that. Then Tigre Scales forced the second one. Marcelino Ball with the interception on a pass to Riley Neal should not have thrown it. That was you know, the first play of a drive. They were trying to get themselves back in the game, kind of a desperation toss that he shouldn't have made. Marcelino Ball made him pay. You know, a difference for this defense from past years, I think. Number one, I think they're clearly better at tackling in space. You're not seeing very often when plays are turning from, you know, you almost have a 10-yard gain and then all of a sudden two or three guys miss and 8 or 10 yards turns into 50. You know, that's rarely happening so far. Ball State was unable to generate a ton of explosive plays, so that's good. That's a good side of it. Legault, 17 for 27, 266, three touchdowns. You know, I thought he was pretty solid. I know that there has been some criticism of his accuracy. I don't think that's entirely valid. He didn't light it up, but he wasn't asked to. You know, the offensive play calling, which we'll get into, really went into a shell. For me, I'm looking at this as Indiana's offense when it was still a contest, and then the offense after really it looked like it had, you know, been decided, and then we all had flashbacks to blown leads of the past and thought, really? They never really threatened to win the game, but it could have. I mean, it could have gotten real hairy there if not for a couple of plays by the Indiana defense and a third down conversion for Mitchell Page when the Hoosiers were trying to run out the clock. So the first part of the game, you know, Indiana's offense gets a field goal after a forced turnover, or a takeaway, excuse me. I'll do my push-ups now. You know, they get the field goal because of a penalty on Demetri Camille that, you know, not smart. We're going to clean that up.
Silly penalty.
Yes.
You know, I went back and watched the game afterwards, And it was a silly penalty. It was clearly after the play. The guy was on the ground, and he just buried him. It wasn't dirty. It was just stupid.
Excessive.
It wasn't like a blindside hit or you know, him throwing a punch. It was just a little too much after the whistle. But you're right. That, you know, I think I texted you at that point, you know, same stuff, different day. You know, with
these, the red zone problems,
with the red zone problems and coming up Wake Forest, and I've been watching this game earlier this morning against Duke. Wake Forest, you can't do that against them. You're going to have to get 7 points when you can, because that defense is very, very good. And if you get a 15-yard penalty that pushes you back, takes 4 points off the board, that could be the difference, you know, against one of these Power 5 teams, especially against a team like Wake Forest, whose defense is very solid and whose offense – has started to come around a little bit, maybe, but could definitely play ball control and limit IU's possessions. So that penalty, you know, couldn't have happened. And then, you know, I thought the red zone offense is a little bit better. You didn't really need it all that much, but to me, they got to get the offensive line is starting to concern me a little bit. It's a line that had expectations to be one of the best in the Big Ten. Now, I know you don't have guys like Tevin Coleman or Jordan Howard back there running the ball, but, you know, Devine Redding's no slouch, and the line gave up 4 sacks, TJ. I don't know what the last game was where IU gave up 4 sacks, but they gave up 4 sacks, and they only averaged 4.2 yards rushing. And that's including the sack yardage from Richard Legault. But, you know, Devine Redding had, you know, a long 28 yards. To me, I don't know. Doesn't look like the same type of runner that he was at the end of last year, where he hit the hole hard and went upfield and could get 15, 20, 25 yards and eventually maybe bust one. Long one for a touchdown. He's dancing around too much. He's not hitting that hole hard, and the offensive line needs to step up too. You can't have 4 sacks. A lot of those killed drives, especially in the second half. And we'll see. I'd like to see Mike Majette, who averaged 9.5 yards per carry, and Devontae Williams with 4.6 yards per carry, and Cole Guest get the ball a little bit more. Until Camion comes back and gives them a home run threat. But, you know, to me, Devine Redding's got to step up his game, and the offensive line has to play like they're expected to if IU's going to, you know, make some noise in the Big Ten East this year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think the play of the offensive line was underwhelming on Saturday. I think that losing Dan Feeney, who is the leader of that group, in the second quarter certainly hurt things. You know, the other drives that Indiana had on the day, 4-play, 66-yard drive for the Westbrook touchdown, a 6-play, 86-yard drive for the Luke Timian touchdown, field goal as time expired, and then a 2-play, 81-yard drive, again, a big Westbrook play, and then a 7-play, 38-yard field goal drive. So they had there for a stretch, 1, 2, 3, so 4 straight scoring drives there for a stretch to get up 30-0, and I felt like, you know, they had really found a solid rhythm there, and then, you know, to close it out, it was, at that point, Indiana had 344 yards and 30 points, Ball State had 161 yards, no points, three turnovers, so I really think that after the final, at that point, if the game had been over, you'd be having a different conversation right now. But then Indiana's remaining drives, a total of, my nose just blew away in the wind, but their remaining drives were obviously they didn't score again. Ball State tacked on 20 straight, and we're left feeling, you know, less than great about the offensive performance. And I think after
the field goal, TJ, with 13:02 left in the third, it was a 5-play, 7 yards, 5-play, 14 yards, 3-play. I think that was 8 yards or minus eight. It wasn't good. Whatever is in parentheses, probably not good.
Block punt. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Block punt that went for, a touchdown. And then 6 plays, 13 yards, 6 plays, 20 yards. You're right. People are complaining about it, and it really took the luster off a great IU performance. They were bidding for their first shutout since 1993. You know, people were into it. You had a great student crowd. You had people talking on social media about how good the defense looked. And then all of a sudden it's, 30-20 and people are hanging on for dear life. And it just takes a little bit of that luster off the win and the good feeling at, you still feel good about winning that game, but
yeah,
if you had to be, if you're betting on IU, you had to be absolutely furious with the Ball State's backdoor cover. But winning that game 30-6 would have been so much nicer in terms of presentation than winning 30-20 and sort of holding on for dear life there.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's important to remember for the defense's sake. I think, in the defensive meeting rooms, they're not going to be real happy. They gave up 371 yards, but they held Ball State, which was a rushing attack that we were concerned about coming into the week based on what they did to Georgia State and how physically overwhelming they were able to be in the second half of that game. Indiana held them to 3.7 yards a carry. Neither of their running backs, Green or James Gilbert, were really able to get anything going. So that was encouraging. And then the defense only gave up 13 points. And you'll take that all day. If you tell me that Indiana's defense gives up on average 13 points a game, which is what they are right now, I'm absolutely running to the bank, and I'm taking Indiana to win 9 or 10 games. Now, obviously, the competition level is going to increase. There's no doubt about that. And they're not going to continue to give up only 13 points a game the rest of the season. But so far, through two games, I think you have to be very impressed by what the defense has done. Another encouraging thing for me, with the Simi Cobb's injury, it's very clear that Nick Westbrook has to step up and is going to be asked to be an integral part of the offense. And so far through two games, he's been that. He looked like a star in the making on Saturday with his catch. It was a really nice catch. It was a good throw, but that was a great catch by Nick Westbrook for the touchdown. And then the breakaway speed that he showed, Ball State defenders had the angle, but they had no chance of catching him on that bubble screen. So an encouraging thing as well. Is the play of the offensive line right now a concern? Yeah, I think it is, but to me, I'm not going to spend a ton of time worrying about it too much here over the next 2 weeks because, number one, I don't think the Indiana offense is the same without Dan Feeney. I think that it really kind of shocked that group to not have him out there. Number two, I give this group the benefit of the doubt based on recent history. And number three, I think the Indiana offense and the play calling – so far, I don't think that they've done too much to get away from being pretty vanilla. I think it's been a pretty bland, vanilla play calling scheme so far through 2 weeks, which is fine. They haven't needed to get real creative, and I would have liked to see more creativity and more urgency from the offense in the second half of that Ball State game, but truth be told, they didn't need to be. I don't agree with the decision, but I understand why it was made. So I'm expecting to see a little bit more creativity from this offense. And then I trust this offensive line and this group to figure things out over the next 2 weeks and then to play quite a bit better against Wake Forest than they did against Ball State. if I'm giving them a grade just for the Ball State game, it was not good. But I have some faith that they'll figure things out here over this bye week, which comes at a very good time. Dan Feeney should be able to go against Wake Forest here in 2 weeks. You'd feel a little bit less sure of that if they had a game this coming Saturday. So I think the bye week, as we talked about, is pretty well placed. The goal was to get through these first 2 weeks at 2-0, figure out what's working, what's not working, what can you do differently, what can you continue to do well, get healthy. You know, Tavon Nate still has not played, and then Kameon Patrick still has not played. I think maybe we're expecting Nate to be back for the Wake Forest game. Kameon, the timeline for him has always been Michigan State. It's possible he's back for Wake. You know, you never know. It's just a week difference, but maybe he gets a limited role against Wake Forest, or if not, then we have him back for Michigan State, and he's going to, I mean, by all accounts, he's going to make a huge difference for this offense. Legault is going to feel a lot better after having 2 weeks off here to kind of continue to settle into the offense. And I understand people's concerns with the offense. I think that they are valid. But I'm going to walk away from it being just feeling, okay, 2-0, now you regroup, you figure out what you can do differently in week three against Wake Forest, which is going to be a tougher test, especially defensively. I think Wake's offense is probably about on par with Ball State's or FIU's. They might better have a little bit better line or a little bit maybe better athletes on that side of the ball. I'm not sure about that, really. Haven't studied them too much yet, but their defense is significantly better than Ball State's or FIU's. So it's going to be a stiff challenge, and we know Indiana's going to have to play well. Just two more notes there. Jamie Thompson did not play again, so hopefully he gets back to the defense and is able to play some kind of a role. I understand he was dressed on Saturday but did not play. And then Isaac James, same thing. He did not get into the game for some reason, which is surprising to me. But I guess that's a wrap on the offense. If you had anything else to mention, then we'll have our preview pod for Wake. But
yeah, I want to get into the Simi Cobb's injury a little bit more and talk about some guys who need to step up. And one of the guys who had an excellent year last year has kind of been missing in action this year is Ricky Jones. He had one catch for 9 yards against Ball State. I believe he had, one or two catches for short yardage against FIU. And he also had a two-point conversion against FIU as well. But he's a guy who was a go-to receiver last year. He put up close to 1,000 yards receiving. And he's going to need to step up. He has speed that, that you lose with Simi. He has the speed to make up and go over the top and stretch the defenses. Mitchell Page had a nice bounce back game from Florida International for 6 catches, 76 yards. You might see a Keontae Ennis, maybe one of these freshmen has their red shirts burned because of this injury. Cause they need somebody to step up. If it's not Ricky Jones, somebody else does. And you can't, as good as Nick Westbrook has been, you can't rely just on one guy who has played, a year and 2 games of football to step up and replace a guy like Simi Cobb. So, the depth, they have depth there. Now it's being tested a little bit and, we'll see if they are, I don't want to say desperate enough, but or if they're put into a position where they need, an athlete like Keontae Ennis or Jonah Morris or guys like Taysier Mack, Phil Benker as well, guys who were probably going to redshirt now are back into the mix, into playing. And it's unfortunate to use the redshirt, but this injury comes early enough where you're going to get 10 games out of them if you start playing them, against Wake Forest. So, I'd like to see Ricky Jones reassert himself and be the guy that, was on the Biletnikoff watch list, the last 2 years and really,
reassert his dominance as a fifth-year senior, he needs to be a bigger part of the offense.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Ricky, I think only had one target even. I think he just had the one target and he caught it. I'm not entirely sure why that is.
It was to the point where I asked other writers after the game, did Ricky Jones play? You know, I don't remember seeing him all that much. And, you know, he's a guy who was a very good receiver for them last year and needs to get back in the mix.
Yeah, I don't really know. I'll have to go back and look at see if Ball State was doing anything scheme-wise or if it was Ricky wasn't creating any separation or if it was just a matter of kind of the game flow dictated that he wasn't getting the opportunity. I don't know, but it was certainly something that stood out on the stat sheet, no doubt about that, and it's something that as the Indiana offense got bogged down, you were kind of thinking, well, you know, who's going to make a play? Who's going to – and really the only play they made in that final stretch was Mitchell Page converting a third, and I think it was third and eight or third and nine that kept the Indiana offense on the field and burned a little bit more clock that really kept it from getting too stressful. You're looking for somebody, and I think Jonah Morris is an interesting guy. If I don't know if we've had an injury health update on him recently or a status update on him, but he hasn't played yet. Like you said, Banker, Mack, Ennis, none of those guys have played yet. Donovan Hale has. And he's a guy that maybe he's another that can fill an outside receiver role. I don't know, but they're going have to have somebody besides just Nick Westbrook have an increased role, that's for sure.
Yeah, and going – let's switch to the defense. We talked about a little bit earlier about, you know, they – shut down the Ball State running game, you know, for the most part. They got pressure on the quarterback. You know, they sacked him twice, forced – there was one play where they got a hand on the ball and it was a duck to the receiver. But Mabon made a great play, caught the ball. But, you know, to me, you know, people were complaining, oh, the defense, you know, couldn't get off the field. They were tired late in the game. I think – you know, it's all connected. The offense couldn't put a drive together late in the game and get an extended rest for this defense. And, you know, you can't send a defense out after three and outs on offense four or five times in a row without them, you know, getting a little tired. You know, defense is not – designed to do that. It's designed to, you know, that's why takeaways are so important. It gets your team off the field, and you know, they played very, very well. And you know, for a defense who last year gave up close to 40 points a game to now come back and they're giving up 16 and a half through two games. Last year the defense had given up 47 points to Southern Illinois. They had given up 22 to FIU, and FIU was on the doorstep to make that game 29-29. So you got to look at the big picture instead of, oh, they gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter. Seven of those came on a block punt, which has nothing to do with the defense. But, you know, they've given up two offensive touchdowns all year. And at this point last year, I think Nick wrote in his numbers piece, they'd given up eight. So it's a marked improvement, and they didn't get the benefit of playing a FCS team. But, you know, people need to take a step back, see the big picture on defense. I thought they played well. They need to get off the field and start, you know, stopping guys on third down, but I believe Ball State was only 6 for 16 on third down. The IU offense needs to get it together on third down conversions. 2 for 13 is absolutely pitiful. They were usually in third and long situations, which is not good. And you got to start hitting some of these third downs, extend the game, put the game away. extend the drive, put the game away, and give this defense, you know, a rest after they played their tails off, you know, the entire game. So, to me, third down conversions, the defense is getting there. The offense needs to pick that up. 0-for-2 on fourth down conversions as well. So you're looking at, you know, two for 15 there. But, you know, on the good side, they were 2-for-2 in the red zone with a field goal and a touchdown. So a chance for 14, they get 10. It could have been worse, but, you know, that they need to clean up those third downs.
Yep, third down was I thought the third down D for Indiana was okay. I mean, I know that they can do better, but I thought it was all right. And then some defensive standouts for me. You mentioned Marcelino Ball, Big Ten defensive freshman of the week, well deserved. You know, he got lost on one pass coverage situation, or at least it looked like he did. Maybe that was just my novice eyes fooling me, but very good game for him. He and Oliver both had 8 tackles and a forced takeaway. Ball's an INT, and Oliver with another strip fumble. Good to see Chase Dutra back out there. He played a pretty significant number of snaps and had 6 tackles, including a half tackle for loss. Tigre Scales had 1.5 tackles for loss. He was active again, another forced fumble for him. Crawford and Damian Willis, I thought, both played pretty well. Tony Fields, he's a guy that has won under the radar. I thought he had another solid game as a rotation member. 2 passes broken up, and then Rashard Vance, 3 passes broken up. And I think Ralph Green played pretty well. I thought he was fairly disruptive in the middle of the line. 2.5 tackles for loss and a sack. And then Ashawn Riggins, I think, has been another impressive freshman. They brought him in a corner blitz, which, by the way, it was great to see the different blitz schemes that that Tom Allen came up with. And I think it's, you know, playing aggressive on defense is something we've, you know, long waited to see, and it's something Indiana has done so far. They brought Riggins on a cornerback blitz, and he blasted Riley Neal from the backside. And Riley Neal was very fortunate to hold on to that ball.
Well, he fumbled it. He just fell on top of it.
Right. I guess I should say very fortunate to keep possession of the ball. He did fumble and fell right on top of it. I thought that was a good play and a strong game for Riggins. And he had a good debut against FIU as well, so he looks like he's a good one. I'm just very impressed with the activity level of the defense and the overall athleticism and speed of the defense. Beautiful. They are quicker and more active and athletic than they have been in my memory of Indiana football as the defense. I'm very impressed by that. And that doesn't mean anything if you don't execute. And I feel like the execution has been some pretty good. There's no doubt that it can get better, that there are some things you can clean up. But overall, I'm very pleased with where the defense is at after 2 weeks, and looking forward to seeing what they can do with another 2 weeks of preparation. Because remember, this is still a new scheme. It's still a new, you know, fairly young group of players and a couple of new coaches as well. So another 2 weeks of preparation to get ready for a Wake Forest offense, and we'll preview that coming up on the next podcast. But overall, I think you have to be pretty pleased with the defense and with the guys that I mentioned. I don't think I left anybody off. I don't think anybody stood out as playing a poor game. Nobody got picked on. I don't think I left anybody off on the list of guys that I wanted to single out. Overall, pretty solid day for the group. I know that they would have liked to get that defensive shutout, but they did get a shutout in a half, which is the first time they've shut out anyone in a half since September of 2013 when they did the Bowling Green. So that's something to speak for. And like you said, 2 touchdowns given up as opposed to 8 at this point last year. So, you know, you continue on a pace anywhere close to that, and I think you'll see this group climb up out of the basement of the Big Ten and at least approach the middle. I think maybe looking at somewhere like 9 or 10 is a reasonable expectation at this point based on what you've seen so far from the defense, and something a little bit higher would not be shocking right now.
Yeah, you know, it's still going to come down to, you know, can they continue this pace? We'll see how, you know, who gets injured. But, you know, you look at the schedule and it's not as imposing as it was at the beginning of the year. You know, Northwestern loses to Illinois State. They look to be a program in a little bit of disarray. A couple of their very, very good players are injured. For how long, who knows?
Right.
That looks like a winnable game, very winnable game now on the road at Northwestern. Penn State looks ripe for the picking at home in November. You know, them losing to Pitt after their, you know, their blogs were saying that Pitt doesn't hold a candle to Penn State football and shouldn't be a rival and they shouldn't be playing this game yet. And then for Pitt to, you know, do what they did against Penn State.
Awesome.
It was a terrific game. I was watching it up in the press box and on my phone in the tailgate lot, which might have been the upset of the day, is that I could stream video in Bloomington on a game day. That to me might be the upset or surprise of my college football Saturday, was being able to stream video in Bloomington on a game day on cell service. But you know, that game at home looks winnable. You know, Michigan
Rutgers.
State, you know, Rutgers was down to Howard, came back. You know, they look like a beatable team on the road. And then you have, you know, Maryland looks a lot better than they were last year and will probably be more toward the talent level of where they were in 2014. But that game's at home. And you know, every game except for Ohio State and Michigan looks truly, you know, winnable. You know, those two teams are very, very good, and it would it'd be a long shot for IU to win. But all the rest of those games, they're winnable, and if breaks go the right way, yeah, you could look at 9 or 10 wins. But this team, you know, probably 7 and 8 wins is more realistic. But, you know, you shouldn't rule out 9 or 10. You know, we'll see where it goes. But, you know, open week this week. Got to focus on – got to beat Wake Forest. If you want to get to 9 or 10 wins, you got to get to 3 first. You got to take care of this Wake Forest team. Wilson said that they're going to take early in the week off, give the players a rest, do some recruiting, come back, I think he said on Wednesday in the press conference, go through practice, have them do football activities on Saturday to keep them on a regular schedule and then get back into game week the next week. So, you know, hopefully Dan Feeney's ready to go. It is a concussion that he has. Having a week off should help him. And this offense is so much better with him at guard, leading that offensive line. And then, you know, we'll see. We'll have our Wake Forest preview next week. Going into it, Wake Forest does play Delaware this week. I believe it's like an ACC Network game. It might be on ESPN3. But take a look at that game. You know, take a look at their win against Duke last week. That game replay could be found on ESPN3 as well. So, you know, Wake, a lot of similarities to the team they played last year. But you know, now they're 2-0, and beat a Duke team that's been a perennial bowl team the last few years on the road, and put up 24 points. So we'll see, how Wake does this week, see if they could carry that momentum into Bloomington. And IU's gotta come out, clean up the offense, take care of the ball, and keep tacking on points and get rid of these penalties in the red zone, which knock you out of a probable touchdown and put you into field goal range. But TJ, anything else before we head off for the week?
Yeah, I think for me, we kind of, you know, we talked about the first segment of this season being, and I apologize for pulling a Jim Nance there with what we talked about. Jim Nance still sends things. It bothers me to do that all game. I know you probably noticed it during your Jets game yesterday. But
I was too busy yelling at Revis, getting burned by AJ Green.
Yeah, that was the day of NFL football, but I'm reminded again how much more exciting I find the college product, but not better, but more exciting. But anyway, we kind of looked at the segment of the season, the first one, as, you know, get to 2-0 before the bye week. Indiana did that, and there weren't, you know, really any heart attack-inducing moments during those two games. So for me, that's a success. I still look at this season as the first goal, and, you know, the players and coaches are going to have loftier goals than I do, because they should. I mean, they're putting in so much blood, sweat, and tears that for them to have anything less than, you know, winning 9 or 10 games as an expectation would be, you know, really foolish of them. But for me, the first goal is to get back to a bowl game, to have a winning record. Anything on top of that is, you know, complete gravy. But I still look at this team as being on target to accomplish those first two goals if they continue to progress and are able to get a little bit more production out of the offense, a little bit, I don't know about improved play calling, but a little bit more creative, a little bit more explosive play calling, and then you continue to get the production they have from the defense, continue to get those takeaways, continue to have negative plays generated by the defense, continue to play with the same energy and intensity we've seen from them, which is a lot of fun to watch. So I think things are still on pace and on target to have a very successful season, despite the, you know, very tough injury to Simi Cobbs. I like what I've seen so far overall, and I'm encouraged by where this program is headed after these first 2 weeks of the season. So a lot of quality football to watch this coming Saturday without the stress of having Indiana playing. So, you know, I'm looking forward to taking advantage of that and getting back to it with a very long and grinding 10-game stretch that is going to test this program's roster to its fullest. So
yeah,
I hope exactly. That they rest up and really get their rest and get as healthy as possible before this stretch starts, because it's going to be a grind. And I know that they're aware of it. I think the bye is well-timed, but – you know, we might be thinking differently about that once the end of October rolls around, and they could use a second bye at that point that won't be coming. So I think the bye is good right now, and I think it's a good thing to have it right now, but, you know, it's going to be a real grind October, start of November, when they're playing 10 straight FBS opponents. It's going to test this program, and in the past, they would not have been able to hold up to it. We'll see if this group of Hoosiers can. I think it's an improved roster from top to bottom and the deepest roster that Kevin Wilson's had. I don't think it's really close either, but we're going to see. It's going to be tested, and my optimism is going to be really – we'll see if I have the same feeling in another 7 or 8 weeks' time. But I love watching Indiana football, especially when they're able to knock off Ball State. I could not have taken another loss to the Cardinals. I know quite a few people graduated from that school, and losing to them for a fourth straight time would not have been something I savored.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point with the building depth for this run of 10 straight Power 5 games. That was something Wilson did say in his press conference, that they really took these two games to look at what they had, guys who could play, guys who aren't ready yet, and really maybe that's part of the reason the offense hasn't been that explosive. They've been running in and out guys a lot, especially at running back, on defense as well. So, you know, that might be a reason why, you know, the goal wasn't to go drop, you know, 60 points on each of these teams and win by 40. The goal was to get out of it 2-0. See what you have for this stretch run of 10 games in a row, see who you're comfortable playing with against a Power 5 opponent. And I think that goal is accomplished now. And the next goal going forward is to come out of the non-conference 3-0 and head into Big Ten play against Michigan State at home in prime time, undefeated.
and having a good deal of momentum on your side going into that game. Fans, enjoy the open week. It's one of the few weeks that we get to sit down and watch college football live on TV at home without having to do anything. There are a lot of good games. You got Oklahoma, Ohio State this weekend, Notre Dame, Michigan State. Louisville is hosting game day and playing Florida State down a short trip on 65. So that'll be a good one. So there's a handful. It's not week one, but there are a handful of really good games going on this week. And we'll be back with more coverage of IU football. You know, later in the week, we're going to do a mailbag. So do send your questions. Either hit us up on Twitter at @Hoosier_Huddle, or you can email the questions to thehoosierhuddle@gmail.com. We'll try to get to all of them. You know, keep your questions clean. But other than that, you know, send whatever questions you like. We'll try and answer them all. And keep coming back to HoosierHuddle.com. TJ, thanks for joining us on a beautiful Monday. And enjoy the week of rest.
Absolutely. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And we'll still have great content. So keep checking the site. And, we'll be back in full force next week.
All right. That does it for the postgame show for Indiana Ball State. Do send us questions going forward, what you like and what you like about the IU season so far, what you don't like, what are you concerned about. So, you know, give us a shout out on Twitter, email us questions. We love interacting with fans. Again, the game against Wake Forest is September 24th. It's at home. Game time is 3:30. Television is Big Ten Network. Enjoy the rest of your Monday and enjoy the week without IU football as best as you can. Thank you for listening, and we appreciate it.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.